So I am coming to you this morning a little bit nervous. I have to go to the dentist tomorrow. And I know that a lot of people can probably relate to that and feeling a little vulnerable, but I actually maybe even feel extra nervous and weird about going to the dentist. Not because I necessarily mind the pain or some of those types of things as much, but my dental situation has been a little bit weird, even going back to when I was a little kid. So I didn't have all of my adult teeth, and many of them were growing in kind of weird ways. So even when I was a kid, I had sort of a strange, you know, teeth arrangement. I'd get made fun of a little bit for that, so that'd make me self-conscious. But then I had to get 8 teeth pulled so that then my adult teeth would come in correctly and they could move them around a little bit and everything. So I wore braces for 5.5 years, really long time wearing braces, not fun either. And they were like serious braces because they were like, we got to jack Rob's teeth all over the place. And so it was really painful. And a lot of times I would go in and I'd start and I'd try to brush my teeth and it just really, really hurt. And especially as a kid, I would just kind of choose not to do a very good job or not do it. And so I've had, you know, kind of staining and not great teeth that way for a long time. And just over time then trying to keep that up, even going to the dentist, I always know they're going to, you know, comment about, oh man, you have like a really weird x-ray, don't you? Or look at all this bridge and everything else. I still have like a wire in to help maintain the shape on one part of it, and I always get tons of buildup there. So I always know that that's going to be a thing, and I'm going to get comments. And I haven't even been to the dentist in longer than I should have until recently. We had one dentist that we had been going to that closed, and I think part of it from feeling nervous and just not liking all that part of it, I didn't want to go and get a new one. But a little bit before Christmas, I actually broke a tooth. And so I was like, no excuses anymore. I got to go do it. But again, it was just one more thing to have the dentist be like, wow, you've just got a lot of stuff going on here, don't you? And, you know, no one's really mean about it, but it's not fun to ever remember painful times of when you were growing up and, you know, feel like maybe someone's judging you a little bit. But I did feel myself as I was doing that first appointment. Tomorrow I'm going to go and actually get the tooth dealt with. They were just kind of giving me a checkup more recently. I decided, you know, it is what it is. The more that I say that worrying about that is going to affect me, the worst that I'm actually going to be setting myself up for, I have to be able to say, this is who I am, this is what my history is, I need to have it worked on. And so even if I'm going to feel strange the whole time, I have to be able to learn how to be comfortable with that type of thing as I go through it. And we know that any type of vulnerability, what I talked about before, going to the dentist, other things that any of you may have come to mind for times that you felt a little bit exposed, it's really fraught nowadays. I think, like I said, those are the type of memories that stick with us the most. But there's also even more stuff going on right now with social media and, you know, wondering if you're going to have something embarrassing or where you're like having a bad day and somebody's going to pull out their phone and you're going to end up having a viral moment or something. There's a lot that we can feel more vulnerable about or that people around us are feeling really vulnerable about. And I think it's interesting, in some ways we share more than we ever did before with a broader audience than we ever did before, but we also curate that a lot more. Almost everyone, you know, even if you share a lot on social media, you probably think at least a little bit about how do I want to present myself. We automatically think about that sense of, I'm not just going to like be there and then see what happens. I'm going to have a little bit of, I want people to see these sides of me, or that's what happens with most people. And so then the risk of being exposed is that much more because it's not just who we are, but like the part of ourselves that we decided we wanted to present to other people are also going to be exposed and potentially create conflict or embarrassment. And then I've also seen things where the way that we talk about vulnerability has gotten really strange. Like sometimes, I don't know if everyone uses this word, but at least for my generation, this idea of like, well, I'm just going to keep it real. There's a thing about like, maybe you don't like everything about it. Maybe that means something's going to happen to me, but I'm going to keep it real. But that's not really vulnerability. That's like much more kind of like going on the offense, kind of making other people maybe feel vulnerable with yourself rather than you being truly vulnerable with yourself. So our understanding of that and how it looks healthy and not just potentially in a way where we're not watching boundaries in a healthy way, I think is getting lost more and more. And when we have those moments ourselves, it feels more and more difficult. But it is one of the greatest gifts for healthy, meaningful, and transformational relationships. When we can be vulnerable that way and know that we're safe and cared for and that we can be fully ourselves. And that's a gift in particular that we're given by God, as I talked about earlier. That's kind of a fundamental part of grace. So understanding vulnerability and opening ourselves up to it can be especially helpful, especially with relationships and this idea of companioning that we're going to be going through in our continued sermon series that Robin started off with so well last week in talking about holy listening as a characteristic of companion relationships that God models for us and that we're able to then share with each other. And so vulnerability is the next step of that that we'll talk about today. I think one of the things that's most amazing about vulnerability in our faith is that it's not just that God offers us love so that we can be vulnerable to God and that we can be vulnerable to each other, but in fact it starts from a place where God is vulnerable with us. And that might seem like an unusual characteristic for us to highlight about God. The classic characteristics of God that are lifted up are this all-everything type of God that, you know, we're completely in awe of, which is true, but, you know, we talk about omnipotence, being all-powerful, omniscience, being all-knowing. And so saying that God is all-vulnerable in the same breath might seem at first like that's a strange combination of characteristics. But I really do believe it is one of God's most foundational and important and meaningful traits. And we see this in both of our scriptures today. With Jesus first, we see this example of how Jesus shows love to a woman in which he is being vulnerable with his reputation and with how people may judge him. We heard that the Pharisee that he was there eating with, along with this woman and other people, was saying, well, this guy obviously couldn't be someone of authority, couldn't be a prophet, couldn't be important. Look at who he associates with. He doesn't even know what's going on in her life. How impressive can this guy be? He's been getting a lot of attention. I felt like I'd invite him over, but he can't be that much of a thing. And so Jesus could potentially look naive when he's willing to show love and understanding for people that others normally say that type of person is someone who no one should associate with. Thing is, Jesus did know, I'm sure, about the circumstances of that woman. God sees all of who we are. Jesus probably had plenty of people like that who spent time with him all the time. He knew what it was like to be viewed by society in that way. But Jesus does this amazing thing where he doesn't use that power of knowledge to put someone down or to make someone feel threatened, but instead to show them amazing love and grace and hope and to believe in their potential. Our drama folks can probably appreciate the idea. When you hear a line something like, I know everything about you, you could play that very sinister and intimidating. I know everything about you. And you think, oh my gosh, like what are they going to do with that? They're going to expose, like, this is really, really threatening. Or you can say it really lovingly, I know everything about you. And you know in that relationship that that is someone that's full of love and acceptance and joy of even the things that other people might think are idiosyncratic or weird or embarrassing. They just love all of who you are. That's the type of knowledge that Jesus brings. And it comes from a place of vulnerability that he's willing to know everything about people. And even if that means something difficult, he still wants to be with you. He still wants to celebrate you. He still wants to show love to you. And the fact that this is a little bit later in Jesus' ministry, so he'd been doing that for plenty of time. And we see the power of that vulnerability when it's offered and actually lived out, even by someone like God, not just said, you can be vulnerable with me, but I will show you how to be vulnerable. Because it builds trust for healthy relationships. When people are able to see someone else's vulnerability, they know they are safe to be vulnerable themselves. And so this encouraged transformation vulnerability ultimately from the woman herself. That's a vulnerable thing to do, to go to someone and to go at their feet and to show your raw emotion, to show your sense of, does anyone accept me? But I trust that maybe you would. I'm going to honor you. And that becomes a lesson from Jesus to the other people who are gathered there, that that is the right way to approach God, that God will show you love and honor the way that you are honoring God. And so His vulnerability invites her vulnerability, which then transforms everyone else who's gathered there at the dinner. Similarly, God shows vulnerability to Abraham. Bill highlighted how Abraham would feel a little bit vulnerable talking to God, but then it's amazing that God would show vulnerability to Abraham, vulnerability of his feeling, and that he's willing to let go of some control. It starts off with, should I hide this from Abraham? Should I just have this be about me, or am I willing to share this with someone else? That I see injustice, that I'm angry about it, that something needs to be done, and will invite someone to be a part of what I'm going to do. Some people believe that Abraham actually did argue God down. And that's one way that people believe it, that God was going to definitely destroy the city, no matter how many righteous people, and so Abraham kind of brought cooler heads. Other people believe that God knew what the outcome of that conversation and his decision would be. And so God was inviting Abraham on a process of his own learning from God's model of what it looks like to be just, even when we see profound injustice, and that brings up righteous anger for us. Either way, it's important to know that God could have related to Abraham in lots of different ways in that conversation. God could have just been abstract and impersonal and holy and say, just so you know, I'm going to destroy, or just so you know, I'm not going to destroy, and that's it. No conversation, no engagement, no nothing. Or could have been justifiably but unchallengeably judgmental. Be scared of me. I'm burning with anger. All I want you to know is to know that I could destroy a city at any given moment. But instead, God chooses something else, something that reveals something relational in connection with God and aspirational for Abraham to do for himself. And again, this shows this emphasis on love and grace and hope and potential. Just like before with I Know Everything About You, think as an actor, how you would say something like, I can do anything I want. Say that really threateningly. Or you can say that full of hope and invitation. I can do anything I want. So what can we do? Let's figure it out together. Let's go do something amazing and positive. That's the way, again, that God is approaching that. Not with that sinister thing of threatening to people, but in inviting potential and participation. And so vulnerability, then, we can see in relationships build mutuality. He recognizes Abraham's future capacity and authority. He acknowledges that Abraham can have shared stewardship and co-creation with God to bring about a better world that God is going to take the lead in, but that God invites us to be a part of. And so he supports, from his own vulnerability, Abraham's capacity and ability, and that brings out more potential from Abraham. So when God affirms that, that can continue to magnify and bring more and more difference and more sense of being beloved and what we can do as people when someone else shows vulnerability for us the way that God starts with. We should remember, though, that there are still principles in how God does this. That there's vulnerability, but there's an example of vulnerability with boundaries that we can talk about a little bit more in a second as well. God is saying, I will be vulnerable and have you participate with me in what's going on, but we are going to be rooted in justice. So it's not like you can argue with me, like, no matter what happens, you should always look away and just let everybody do whatever they want to do, even if they're being really oppressive to a point that some sort of response is needed. There's still that boundary, and so God knows how to model that for us. And so we probably then want to think, how can we see God's vulnerability to us in our lives in that same way? How can we ask God to help us be vulnerable? And one of the things we're going to talk about a lot through this companioning thing is that we are talking about these characteristics of relationships and how we can draw them out in more and more ways with more and more people. But we always want to start with where we're at. We're not going to be talking about things about just, you know, piling on more new relationships, more new things. We can always start with these things exactly where we are. And we have to admit, sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable with God. So the first thing we can do is we can remember and take hope from these examples of God's vulnerability. So even if there's those things that we're holding back and saying, oh, this feels a little bit too embarrassing, I don't know if God will really love me with this, or it's hard for me to even look at the situation that's going on with me honestly, that our first thing that we can do is say, God I can trust from these stories and others is fully vulnerable with me. I will let myself be fully vulnerable with God, even if it's painful. And it may not happen right away. It may take time, but that's a good place to start. And then secondly, how can we be vulnerable with our other relationships, starting with right where we're at? Do we watch for God being like Jesus to the people around us, to people who are like a woman who is rejected by most of society? For God and Abraham and parts of society that need justice, but that God might bring transformation and not just judgment and exclusion and condemnation with no possibility for moving forward. Are we able to see the people around us the same way that God sees them? And then open our hearts up to that same type of posture that God does first, that sometimes is hard for us when we do see people around us that make us really angry, or that we feel like there's not very much that's lovable or likable about that person. Maybe I can ask for some God goggles a little bit for how I see this person in this situation, even just in little baby steps. And then we want to be able to share our vulnerability in different types of relationships. And there are some that I know that this is especially difficult in. So one is relationships that we know I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this person. Maybe this is just someone I see on the street for a moment, in the grocery store for a moment, or something like that. And so it would seem strange to, like, let me open up, like, pour out my entire heart to you, or have you pour out your entire heart to me. That's probably a little bit too much. But having that posture of seeing people for more than just the worst parts of themselves, for letting people know if you are in a place where you need to share something, you can share the whole honest situation of it. One of the things I've learned in the assistance ministry that we do and that I've done with other churches is that it is true a lot of times when people are in a vulnerable place, they come actually with defense mechanisms up right away. They want to show you that they're super stressed out. They want to tell you all of the things that may not even be true, but that they think will make you think that they're worth helping. And then if you find out that they lied to you, you feel burned as a person who's trying to help. But the more that I've been able to say, you may not think that other people will listen to your problem. You may not think it's serious enough unless you embellish it. Or you may not think that someone will listen to you unless you act like you are as panicked and crazy as you possibly can be, and so they either like want to not have to deal with you anymore, so they'll do something to just have you go away. Like, just tell me exactly what it is, and I'll tell you, I may not be able to help all of it, but I'll do as much as I can no matter what, and I'll see if I can help you connect with other people. Just the moment of taking away that sense of, you don't have to pretend, you don't have to do anything different in order for me to, I'll listen and I'll be honest that maybe I can't do everything, because that's another thing that's hard for us to do, is to say, I can't solve your problem, and to admit that we don't have that capacity sometimes can make us feel weak too. But just to say, let's see exactly what the situation is, and be able to say, I can't do everything, that that's okay, and that God will help us by stepping into that situation and bring it about more. The other types of relationships I know that are really difficult are ongoing relationships that maybe already have patterns set, where we already know how to push each other's buttons, we already have some anger and frustration that's maybe lingering, and being vulnerable just feels like that's just going to make the situation completely worse. And so one thing is to be vulnerably honest about relationships that maybe we want to see God's health and wholeness and transformation brought to, because we know that they're difficult. We want to see that changed. First off, are we able to say, is this a misunderstanding or a difference of viewpoint and personality that has then just devolved because of misplaced comments or not being careful into a lot of personal hurt and distance? Or is this a relationship where I have to admit I've made a violation, and so I need to make things right with the other person, and I'll own that? Or it's also fair to say and be honest, is this a relationship where I have been violated, but I've not been willing to tell the other person? That really hurt me, but I want to make it right, but I'm going to need you to recognize that and to walk with me and to take some steps that can heal that hurt. God's vulnerability in particular models to us how a vulnerable characteristic can change the dynamic of a relationship. In Jesus, we see how vulnerability is behind a choice that he makes to see the woman who washes his feet as more than the parts of her life that someone would be tempted to judge her for. So he chooses to see those parts of her life and to engage her on that way so that new life can kindly be offered. And so maybe that there are some relationships where we need to ask God, can you help me see more of the life of this person who I'm in conflict with? than just the conflict that I have with them, just the thing that I'm frustrated with about them. And then help me start to share that part of life first. I can let go of some of the other things that are fraught. Let's build a foundation on something where I can see more in who they are. In God's interactions with Abraham, we see how God is willing to share terms with someone and how that brings them closer. In other words, God's engaging with Abraham about an issue of justice. Think about how easy it is for us to get into arguments with each other, because when we face an issue, it's really difficult not to get hung up on, well, like, I need that issue to be dealt with in the ways that are most connected to me and the things that I'm concerned about and the things that impact my life the most. And then if somebody else comes at it from a different angle, it feels like they're hurting us because they want to have the issue looked at from the things that impact their life the most. And so we end up talking past each other. And God takes a different approach. He includes Abraham as a partner and works on the issue together to arrive at a holistic understanding about justice that emphasizes human dignity and the possibility of transformation. But God has to build that by coming to Abraham and letting Abraham talk about his terms as much as God talks about God's terms. And so then God shows us that the way that is most important for us to be right about an issue or about a conflict, the most important way to be right is to be reconciled with the people who are also stakeholders in that. So to conclude, I just want to remind us that as a church family, this is a key place to experience companioning. All of the characteristics, including vulnerability, as well as holy listening, like Robin lifted up for us last week. We do want to try to get to a point together in this type of community where we can build some good relational capital, that we can be vulnerable enough to say, I need more vulnerability in my life. I want to say that to you. I need more vulnerability in my life. And also say things like, it's not always easy for me, but I want to make sure that there's room for you to be vulnerable too. Not just me getting to have my thing where I feel safe, you getting to feel safe with me as well. And we need to be honest. In this day and age, we probably all have relationships where we want to see God's healthy vulnerability and healthy love and grace come and bring more wholeness to those relationships that are difficult. We want to have those companion characteristics come alongside in them as a gift, as that gift that God gives, starting with who God is. There's probably even some circumstances, not only in our own families, but maybe even in our church family, in this room, where we're like, there are some things that something hangs over a little bit. And so it feels awkward in a way that I wish it didn't. I want to have that wholeness. I want to be able to be vulnerable with each other. Even though right now there's some things that we see the world differently, and it feels hard. So the opportunity to see God as vulnerable, to see God as leading us in vulnerability that can bring wholeness to each other, is wonderful and is a gift. Being in God's hands is the best place to be to work out anything like this together in whatever part of our life it's showing up in. And it's okay also if it doesn't happen easily right away, that it's a process. And bit by bit, God will be giving us that gift to each other and to each of us. And so I want to tell you, I trust all of you that I can be vulnerable with you. And I want to try to be more vulnerable with you. I trust all of you to mess up together sometimes, and that it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. And lastly, I trust you to go on this journey with me, and most importantly, as God will be leading us to wholeness in all of those areas. And I hope that in God's hands, we can be in that same type of place together and exploring that together as we continue in this companioning series. We want to be vulnerable enough to say, God, keep showing us the gifts of who you are to us so we can be gifts to each other and to those around us when they need those same characteristics in their lives, because we know how many people are struggling with these types of things. So we're going to have a way of solidifying that right now as we celebrate communion, which is one of the biggest expressions of God's vulnerability that is given to us and that we get to share in, that we believe God's Spirit will come and be a part of and empower our own vulnerability. Make sure I get the mic. So join me in God's presence.